Shabbat shalom. Although we just finished the High Holy Day season, for many of us, it didn't take long until we made our first transgression. I even heard someone commenting at the breakfast at the end of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur just finished, and I've already said something unkind about another person. I already have what to repent for. We are imperfect. It's impossible for us to keep only pure and kind thoughts in our minds. It's not realistic to expect that we will make perfect decisions and create perfect lives. Tradition teaches us that even God wasn't content with God's creation of the world initially. In Midrash Tehillim, we read that God created the world and destroyed it 974 times before creating the world that we know. So that by the time we start reading the Torah with the book of Genesis, God has already created and destroyed many worlds and is continuing rather than beginning the work of creation. In this week's Torah portion, Noah, we find two stories of destruction, the story of Noah and the Ark, and the story of the Tower of Babel. The story of Noah and the Ark is particularly relevant to this moment in which we find ourselves. Noah represents transitions to new beginnings. Just like Noah, we too must leave things behind in order to transition to a new beginning. We too contemplate what to bring and what to get rid of. The narrative of the Great Flood is not unique to Judaism. Modern scholars consider it to be an Israelite version of a widespread Mesopotamian story that emphasizes how the flood was brought on as a punishment for immoral behavior. Noah's generation was marked by immorality. But even he couldn't begin fresh after the flood. Rashi, the famous 11th century Torah commentator, said that, along with everything else, evil was carried into the ark. As we read in this midrash, after all of the animals are paired up and on board Noah's ark, the lie tries to sneak on board too. But Noah stops it. He tells the lie that it needs to have someone to come on board with. Only pairs were allowed. The lie is too ugly for beauty and incompatible with truth. Wickedness, however, is worshiping an idol when the lie appears. Wickedness wants to know what will the lie give it to come on board as the lie's partner. And the lie answers that it will give it whatever it gets from lying. That satisfies wickedness, and they go to Noah, who, now that they are two of a kind, has to let them both enter the ark. So the lie survives the flood, and whenever a lie is told, wickedness grows. Immorality is part and parcel of humanity. We may want to cast away undesirable aspects of our world and our lives, but no matter what, these things will find their way back. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev said that everything God created and destroyed exists forever and never ceases to be. So what do we do with the things we wish we could get rid of? And how do we protect what we value most? We, just like Noah, are living in a time fraught with difficulty. Just like Noah, we can't simply throw away the things we want to rid ourselves of. They are inevitable aspects of our world, no matter how negative. In the Midrash, the Ark fails to be a perfect sanctuary for what we want to carry with us. It becomes corrupted with negativity. But we can think of the ark as another kind of container. We can think of the ark as a symbol of refuge, a place that provides sanctuary for our mindful and intentional thoughts and actions. The Hebrew word for ark, teva, also means word. The Baal Shem Tov links this to Torah and prayer, our most sacred words. In a way, Torah and prayer are arcs filled with our best emotional, intellectual, and spiritual thoughts. Abraham Joshua Heschel famously said that Judaism creates its cathedrals in time, not in space. In other words, we do not rely on physical structures to bring holiness into the world. Rather, we create holiness through our actions and our words. Torah and prayer help us create these structures in time. Our ark, then, can be seen as distinct from our everyday world. It is the sanctuary where we express our spiritual selves. Rather than wade through the murky waters all the time, and we do need to wade through it sometimes, we also need rest. We need respite and refuge to reacquaint ourselves with the words of Torah and prayer that carry us through. We read that Noah was a righteous person in his time. Context matters. We don't need to be perfect. How can we be perfect in an imperfect world? We have been through so much. We have been going through collective trauma. And in face of this, it can be challenging to rise to the occasion. But we can strive to live according to our values. As the animals came onto the ark, each one had its own purpose. Similarly, we can bring individual acts into our practice, one at a time, one mindful moment, one concrete action, one act of chesed, loving kindness. We may not be perfect beings, but we are perfectly human. We too can be righteous in our time. We can enter the ark, the sanctuary of Torah and prayer, and remind ourselves of the world we want to help create. Shabbat Shalom.